Hi, everybody. This is Rita Prazeres Gonçalves, linguist and senior talent management consultant. In this podcast, I have conversations with language professionals who are willing to talk about their experience, their knowledge, and their strategies to navigate the ever-changing language industry. This is also a space where I can learn and share my insights. I have been working with LSPs, enterprise clients, and freelancers for over 20 years, and my main focus is talent management for the localization industry. Let's get to know some of the most interesting people in our field: translators, company owners, association representatives, and community builders. This is The Language Worker. This podcast is also available as a video cast on YouTube. Hi, everybody. So here we are, another first time. So, Genia, I'll call her Genia. She will explain the whole situation of being called Eugenia and in the Russian version and everything else. But I've had a friend called, well, with the same name, and I used to call her Genia, right? She's an engineer at Google. So we'll stick to that, but I will ask you in 1 second to pronounce your name properly and, actually your full name, because it's always very interesting. So it's Eugenius or Genius first time in a podcast. So I'm going to be very gentle. But you already know the drill, right? So we have just had a 10-minute conversation, basically discussing pronunciation, things like that. And so I saved all the possible interesting information for our recording. So welcome, Genia, and please explain being Eugenia and Genia and all of these things at the same time.
Hello, hello, thank you. So in Russian, the full name is Evgenia, but we have short names, short version of names for almost any full name. So the short name for that is Zhenya. And I think since I've been in school for English lesson at school, I found that the English analog would be Eugenia. So in all my English conversation, I'm keeping this Eugenia nick and pronunciation since then.
Yeah, to make it easier on us.
Yes. But for my Russian and Latvian friends, they usually call me Zhenya.
So in the full name, like say it in those beautiful accents. The full
My
name, like the
name is
full.
Evgenia, and full names, they're
No,
usually
the rest of it
Evgenia.
also, like the whole.
Ah, Evgenia Tarakanova. Можно
Oh.
Евгения Викторовна Тараканова, because we have a patronymic names also.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have studied Russian, believe me.
Oh.
I cannot say I know anything about Russian, but I studied Russian for 2 years. So let's say that I have a bit of a theory or a theoretical overview. That's it, not a linguistic one. Exactly. So that's the story. So why are you here? Because you obviously have had your life, your work life, always related to translation and translation services. But let's go back a little bit to when you actually started studying. So I saw it on LinkedIn. My secret agent is LinkedIn, obviously, and I saw that you actually studied public relations.
Oh yes, and
So
journalism. And
why was
journalism.
that happening? Did that include languages? Was it because of your parents? Was it because of your background? So what took you to that specific type of studies?
I just got there. I was worried as a teenager that I would never pass the history test to philology.
Okay.
Frankly speaking, I'm not proud of that. But there I passed easily. It was the journalism faculty. It didn't have a history somehow. And then it was years of working with text because we studied stylistics, like 5 years of stylistics. Every year, every semester, we had stylistics. So like full 5 years course of that. We had specifically called the modern Russian language. There is also some old versions and some historical Russian language, but we studied modern Russian language. We studied like the discourses of the language. So everything to work with texts and stylistics. And this PR, we studied marketing. So it was extremely easy to translate marketing texts because I've studied for a while how to write marketing texts. I got my diploma with distinction for that, for writing marketing texts. Yeah, and also we had a lot of literature. We have like all these 5 years we had the course of Russian literature again in every semester, like stylistics. And for all 5 years we had in every semester the course of foreign literature, so all kinds of foreign literature, but usually, of course, it was rather like European and American classical literature. But well, in first year, we started with ancient Greece and Rome, and then it was mostly that European and American. I also, before that, I spent a couple of years on biology faculty until I understood that probably that's not what I want to do in life.
And so how did you jump from that to what started happening in terms of translation? Did you actually have a job as a journalist first, or did you go straight to working in languages? What happened? Was there a gap?
So I got into, first I got some experience of working as an editor, in-house editor. That was a short summer work. But I enjoyed working with that language, and also I think I was like 18. And somehow there I indicated how the translator like tricked this client, my employer, to paying him more. That was very interesting. They were paying him by target character. And I see, I'm editing in this mode of hidden symbols, and I see, oh, wow, after every paragraph, there's a whole list of spaces. Why would that be? So, that's how I got the translator on doing the strange thing. But yeah, I went away from the topic. I started working in the translation agency more or less at the same time when I was studying in this journalism faculty. And I was an editor, a translation editor, and a project manager at the same time. They needed a project manager who can also like edit texts when they're not too big, even too big. But then in this agency, somehow I started editing Google, and the client loved me. They chose me as one of the like most valuable Google editors. So somehow, from this project management, I stuck to this reviewing Google.
So where was this company? Was it in
It
Russia, in
was when
Latvia?
I was still in Russia. Still in Russia. Now this company has moved to Lithuania after the war started, but back then it was in Russian. So, and not only they liked me, but I also loved this job. So
So
I
you
just
worked
wanted
on
to
site.
stick in the industry.
Right,
What?
you were there physically, you worked on site, or was it?
Well, I worked in the translation agency, and we worked through some bigger MLV for them, but I often visited, and yeah, I understood that I like it more than work and then in the newspaper. I've worked in newspaper too a little bit. I wrote texts about information technologies and the internet in it was in 2000,
Right.
I think.
When it was still a bit new.
Yes. It was called this part of the newspaper. It was called Information Technologies and Telecommunication.
Wow.
But yeah, working in translation agency was much more fun.
So did you enjoy being a project manager, or did you enjoy the linguistic work better?
Linguistic work I enjoyed better. Well, working as project manager was also fun. But then I went to freelance from there, and I was mostly freelancing for the same agency. I just figured that I need to like my kid will now go to school, and in the kindergarten they stayed quite late, and I could easily just take her from kindergarten after work. But here in school, usually it's the other way around. But in her case, in school, they ended earlier.
Yeah, it's like
And
here, the same.
I wouldn't be able to just take my daughter from school. So I contemplated for several months, and then I went to freelance and I started earning more. That was like very strange, but very good. I enjoyed earning more. And then somehow the person I knew with whom I worked together on some project, but he was in different company, he suggested me to create our little translation business together.
So that's the Yummy company, right? That
Yes,
I read
that
there.
was the Yema Translations.
So what's the story with Yummy? That sounds great.
Yeah, it was a very nice experience, though I left 2 years ago.
We'll get there in a minute. So first, Yummy, and then.
So first we had me and Alex and a colleague and several translators that I found, and we all were doing everything. And then we understood that we need
Everything means doing
one.
project management, doing language work. What does everything
Yes,
mean?
like, the startup type of work where everyone is doing everything because it just have not very differentiated, some just very
So it
simple.
wasn't structured yet. You just did what you have to do.
Yes, and then we went to more structured and at some point, I was the person who was responsible for all the HR. So I hired translators, and later I hired recruiter and built a processes to hire translators. And I was testing translators, and I was making all the training materials. I was training translators. I was doing this one-on-ones. And also language work. And after some time, I also started doing another thing. We wanted to, like, some clients told us that we like your quality and we are ready to give you more clients if you have better, like, bigger capacity with the same quality. Had to build a bigger capacity with same quality, and it's not easy in the like after that when I moved here, I saw the rates that other translators have,
So
and
you
I
moved to
understood that
Latvia, right? While you were still
I
working
moved to
at Yami.
Latvia. Yeah, that I'll tell later. But I figured out that what we were getting from the clients and what we were paying the translators, it was quite like really low rates. They are very common for Russia. And one of the reasons for that is that Russia has ridiculously low taxes for the self-employed. It's 4%. 4% for
So the
self-employed.
rates were lower in Russia because taxes basically are not.
Oh no, because there are lots of reasons, but it's like everywhere in Russia, I've only seen these rates. And yeah, after I moved to Latvia, to Europe, I realized that people usually have better rates. And I started to like use better rates, but there
And
was
Yam, you worked into many languages, or what kind
when
of
I was
situation did
leaving
you have?
Yame 2 years ago, it was working to Russian. Then sometimes we had very rarely we had translation to Ukrainian that we sent to Ukraine to partners. We had a little bit of Belarusian, but now I know they're adding Kazakh translation and some other languages, but I haven't been with them since, so I'm not sure. The processes I've built were very good for single language vendor, but I think they are good also for multi-language because I've built like I had a developer and I was overseeing the building of internal quality management system. So we took standard TAUS LQA system. Well, when the editor marks the category of errors and severity of errors. Well, many companies do that, but we wanted to do it internally, and we wanted it to work with every job we had. When I was looking for other solutions, I noticed that, they all require manager to upload every translated text manually into the system and every edited text manually. And it's good if you have like today the 10,000 words and tomorrow 10,000 words, but if you have like today 100 projects, each of them is 50 words. You would need to hire the new manager who would just do that. So we couldn't work with that. And we made internally the solution that would be kind of an add-on in Chrome. It has some restrictions so that the information would stay confidential and don't go further than the team. And we made it work with several CAT tools. So just open the CAT tool in Chrome and you open this add-on and it works. And then we had statistics that showed us, we could see the static data, this translator this month. We could see the dynamic data. Like this guy came to us after university 6 months ago, and this is his quality. It was like this is, goes up, probably. We're not filming video, so I'm showing now on video the kind of diagram when the quality goes up. Could see that, and also we could see if it goes down, and also we could compare because imagine that the translator has good quality, but one editor is biased against this person, like personally. Okay, I hate this translator, I don't like everything they do, I'll just rewrite everything. So we could compare editors how they reviewed this translator to find like to exclude this situation with the biased editor. It was working great. I wrote my master thesis on this project.
Okay.
It was very fun. So, and Yami was great, but we had, I got tired, and I left them after the war started, because I didn't like where some people in the company pay tax. It's Russia. I tried to avoid working with some work that pays tax in Russia. But I was already a bit tired, because we did have different views on some stuff. In short, I wanted more transparency and more structure. And my partner, my work partner Alex, he was more like introverted person, and he didn't like any transparency and yes, information flow. We have very different views on that. But yeah, but he's a great person, and I hope everything's good with him. As far as I know, he's in he moved to Montenegro and doing good, and I often see the Yammer Translations recruiter looking for translators for several languages and
That's a
some
good sign, right?
so that's good. I think they're good.
So then you created your Baltic words.
I created the Baltic words. Well, I had some like prospective business partners who suggested me, like, let's create the company in Latvia that would be a partner of our company in Germany. But then they changed their mind.
That's
And
business, right?
yes, that's business. And I felt upset and relieved at the same time. But now I have a business, and well, I've got, I had many clients. I spent, well, in Yemen, yeah, I spent years on building the skill and reputation. But when I quit, all the clients and all the translators stayed with them. I quit
Of
with
course.
nothing, yes. Though I was a partner, I was not an employee, but I just quit with nothing. It happened this way. And I need to build some things from scratch. I had
I
some
understand that.
ideas. Yeah,
So what happened? Tell me about the
yeah.
whole process, because this is the most interesting thing in
Yeah.
the world for me is how someone builds something from scratch, because it's obviously what I'm also trying to do. And it's complicated, exciting, and there's a lot of studying and thinking involved. So after all this experience of having your own company, because that was your situation, right, with Yami, so how did you just leave it there? Of course, you brought your own ideas, that's what's most important. And how did you go about creating the company, I guess now in Latvia, in another
In
country, in another
Latvia,
circumstance? So what's the story?
yes. I've been in Latvia already for a while. I moved 10 years ago, and today, by the way, today is the day when I finally is eligible for applying for citizenship. So I'm planning to do it as soon as possible. It is such a happy day for me. I was
Okay,
waiting
well,
for years.
congratulations.
Yes, thank you. So yeah, I created the company, and first, I had it was so scary actually, and it's not quick. It's very slow how I build it. It's super slow, and it's hard, and it's like job search sometimes feels desperate, because I know I'm good. I know my translators are good, first I connected to the old client of mine, and they started work with me again. It's not much, but it's monthly. It's daily work. Okay, sometimes they send like 10 words per day, like two project, 10 words and 3 words, but my minimum fee for them is 5 euros. So I worked 10 minutes, I got 10 euros. Okay, I can buy food already. So it's not stability. It's not big money, but it's stable money that I get monthly. And then I got an amazing client who's the very opposite of it. Like they sent large texts a couple times a year.
Okay.
Like really large, and
That's how it
it's
goes, right? It's a mixture of people you hear from every week or every day, and then others once a year, and then some every 2 months.
They
So that's
bring
what's
some
interesting about it,
carnival
right?
for you. Yes. They brought absolutely amazing projects, and we were so happy because these projects, they were also like before that, I mostly worked with software localization. And this thing is about sustainability
Wow.
and governance and some principles of sustainable development. And I was feeling like I'm like really doing something good in life, and I'm improving the world somehow. And that included the translation of some, it was called a playbook. It's for educators in business schools to make this education more sustainable, more inclusive. It was like this thing that I would read it even if I wouldn't have to translate it.
I
So
understand.
it was so cool.
It's amazing when that happens, right? You're so interested.
It was great. And then I started like I went to some translation conference, met some people. I got some partners from other translation agencies. Recently, my therapist sent me the direct client.
Wow.
And she said, "Oh, maybe you know this person is looking someone to translate from English to French." And I know who translates from English to French. So I said, "Okay, I talked to the person, I asked what they need. I made them like I have a special some kind of instruction, a presentation, how to make a style guide. Yes, for those clients who didn't work with translation before and don't have their style guide." So I sent them my presentation, they answered the questions, we made a style guide, and I know very good English to French translators here on LinkedIn.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I went to Mathieu Ledohet. I hope I pronounce him correctly, and he also suggested me who could be the editor, and we translated the text and the client was great. They didn't negotiate the price with me. They said, "Okay, it's a good price. It's like okay, we're not in a hurry. It's okay if it's not translated tomorrow. We're okay to wait a week." It was perfect. I hope they will come
Dream
again.
client, right?
So now I'm trying to build my brand on LinkedIn. That's what I never had on Yamia. We had somehow. I had a lot to say, and I did say to my colleagues,
But you didn't put it out in the
but
world.
I didn't talk to the world. I never went public. So I spent many times in some social network and the networks in like closed mode where only some friends can read me. So I wrote a lot there just as a hobby and to connect with people. But I never went public and I had a consultation with a B2B sales consultant, Philip, very cool person. I met him on the Notion event, the Notion software. It's very cool. It has its ambassadors everywhere, and we had some Notion event in Riga. So I took some consultations, and we decided to publish things on LinkedIn and build some presence there. It is fun.
Yes.
I started doing it and it is fun. I made this like this thing on plain language. I'm fond of plain language.
Well, let's talk about
But
that, right? So, apart from being a business owner and, doing your translations and working with your freelancers, so what's the story with plain language, right? So, what's the story? Because, of course, your post was very popular. Everybody was impressed and everybody was interested. So, let's talk about that.
So the plain language, I just it was interesting because I learned the term only last year, but I was using the same principles for years. Like
So
that,
you were
you
already doing it, you just didn't know the terminology.
Yeah, like we have in Russia, there is a popular book about editing that promotes the so-called informational style. Something is very similar to plain language there, but I think they're like over mechanistic, I would say. And I was always like, okay, it's good to know some things here are good, but they're doing in general the approach is too mechanical. And then I see plain language, and that's exactly what I practice. And I was very happy to learn about it. So I don't know if all people who listen to us know it, but
Okay, let's talk a little bit about it, the theory, right? So what it is and why it needs to happen and all that stuff.
It is used apparently by some governments, not only that, also by museums, and there's also EASL language, but I don't know yet much about EASL language. So the idea is you make your text easier to understand for the reader. Even if it's so for every reader, maybe it's a foreigner who doesn't know very well your language. Maybe it's just a person who's like for whom it's hard to read, and you make your text very clear. You don't overuse words, and this is super useful for UI translation. So the plain language rules, they suggest that we remove the redundant words that we don't need. And I practiced that, and I put this to the exercises in my UI translation course for Yame translators. We had an exercise. Like, try to look at every sentence you meet somewhere and try to remove words one by one. Okay, if I remove this adjective, would the meaning stay the same? Or if I remove this word, would the meaning stay the same? So this is very good exercise. And in UI, well, you translate UI, you always have character limits. And it's very good for work with character limits because, like for Russian, for example, Russian is longer than English, much longer. So we need to work a lot with shortening the sentences. Also, in plain language, they suggest to use the normal word and avoid this bureaucracy's language. In Russian, we had the word "канцелярит," and yes, but also all my life I'm trying to avoid it. I don't know if it's well. I do say many redundant words, like right now, but not in my texts.
Yes, when we're speaking is a bit different.
It's very different.
But plain language is actually aimed at written language, right? So I know that there are some companies that are more widespread, like utility companies in Portugal, that are trying to make an effort to actually make this happen. So they've hired services that we also have to make that happen in a more, in a way that more people have access to the information without getting stuck at understanding deep bureaucratic terminology, right?
Oh, and I found the list of principles since, for our listeners. Yes, so you write for a reader, not yourself. That's first. Second, you state your major point before going into details. That's what I'm trying to do now. Then you stick to a topic and you limit each paragraph to one idea. You write an active voice, use short sentences. Use everyday words, instead of this bureaucratic gibberish. You omit unneeded words. You keep the subject and verb close together. Use headings, lists, and tables to make reading easier, so visualize it better. And of course, you proofread and you ask your colleague to proofread. It should be all
So there
proofread.
you go, a list of principles that you should follow in order to make sure that the vast majority of people will understand it better than they would if you weren't careful, right? So yes, so what's happening right now? So what kind of projects are you working on? Are you looking for what type of clients? So what do you envision for the next year or two in terms of, you know, how your business is going and how this plain language can be a part of it. So how is this what are you thinking right now for the since you've started 2 years ago, so what are you thinking for the next year or two?
Next. So, I would like to find more clients that write on social topics like this sustainability client. It was excellent. It was a dream client, and they still are a dream client, just not
Mm-hmm.
Perel. I would like to find client who write about human rights and like gender problematics and all that, so social things. I almost got into project. It was such an interesting project, anti-corruption, that I wanted so much to get there. And I got it. I received it, but then they said, okay, client, they changed their mind and they don't have budget for Russian and Ukrainian. We lost this project, and I hope they will have something else because that's what I would like to translate about social things. And the other thing is, I want, of course, to continue working with software localization, because it's one of my main areas and passions, and I have been
Once you
doing.
go software localization, you never go back.
You just go wider, but you don't quit software localization.
You keep it forever. I know.
I really hope to find more of these clients. It would be great. But also, I'd like to find clients who have some, who are nice to work with, have nice work ethics, and some nice approach to work in general. Maybe committed to sustainable development goals that I recently translated about. I'm very, very interested in that. And I want to find more. Like, I met very good translators. I have a great Latvian translator. And I want to have more languages for the translators that I trust.
So
With
you want to
clients.
expand your language pairs too.
I would like to expand my language pairs, and I want also I want to have more of Russian translators, not on translations, not only for me, but for my colleagues who are now immigrated. And they all are in a very fragile position. And I don't want them to have to go back to Russia. It's scary. And they're really cool. My colleague Christina, that I worked with on sustainability stuff together, and with whom we teach kids together, she's a great translator, also on some social topics. She's amazing. And I hope maybe if I get more clients, I could hire her because now She works as a freelancer and
So you want more work for yourself and to
yes, and
spread
yeah,
around.
and so that it would be nice work on the topics that interest me and not about, I don't know. I just recently there was someone was asking what was in LinkedIn, what was your most difficult translation? And for me, it was the agency. It was, I just switched to freelance, and the agency sent me something about typography, like for not for just
Oh yeah,
regular
I saw
use.
your answer. I saw your answer, yeah.
And I said no, but I said no, one else can, please take it. And I spent like 10 times more than I would spend on Dexter's length. And yeah, and that was about boundaries and saying no. Now I say no to the text that will do that for me. And
They take a lot of work and it's too complicated. And in the
it's
end, it's not
like
really
it's
worth
okay
your
if the
while.
text is complicated. I can easily work with text that it's complicated, but it should be complicated in the area I do care about. The typography, I don't give a damn about typography, frankly. I did it.
So you don't mind difficult as long as you're interested.
I don't mind difficult as long as it's something I care about.
Alrighty. So I guess we'll leave on that note because, there's next year, I always do like a lot of the people come back after 1 year or something because I like that, because I always like knowing how things have, evolved and all of that. And so I really enjoy. So it's not just coming on the podcast doesn't mean that you're coming once. Some people have been on the podcast, I think, 4 times in a year and a half. So they're like resident podcasters, right? So for sure we will catch up soon. And I hope everything goes okay with your projects and your translations and your plain language. And yeah, for sure, that's a topic I should actually have on the podcast and have like a round table of people who know about it. There's a really relevant crew of people in
Oh,
Portugal that
that's
take care of that.
amazing.
Yeah, so
I'm
it's
in. Please count me in.
yeah, just to talk about that topic specifically because I know that it's very relevant and it's been a thing here. I've heard about it for now many years, so it should be a topic for sure. So we'll do that. Thank you so much, and I hope to see you around. And that you have all the success in the world in Latvia that you love so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank
And
you.
yeah, I'll be listening to this and next podcasts. And see you soon, I hope.
See you very soon. Bye bye.
Bye.